didn't recall sending those to you, but it didn't get perfect, I didn't call them. I think it was a week and a half ago or so that Dan asked me if I would do the Mother's Day message, and I said, absolutely, why not? And then, as I was preparing for the message, I always like to start out by asking myself, what is a basic or simple question? That question is, what is a mother? I didn't ask anyone in the world because we just did. We don't know what that would end up doing here. We do not, but I kept asking myself that simple question, what does it mean to be a mother? Is a mother, what's the importance of a mother in the lives of children and this next generation? And then Wednesday night, Dan asked me while we were at Duke if I was okay to do this message. Seemed like a little bit of an odd question, but Dan's concern was because I didn't have what we would call the greatest example of earthly parents, right? Of biological parents. We'll say they had a checkered past. But by God's grace, there were many, many people who came alongside me who filled that void, who filled that role when my parents did not want, could not, and chose not to care for me. I had aunts and uncles that came alongside me. There was a neighbor lady who helped step in. One of my very best friends, Mike, his mother, we affectionately call her Miss Libby. She was a preschool teacher, and she came alongside and was always there to help guide me. My grandmother slid into that role and did her very best. And so I had lots of great examples of people showing me what it meant to be a mother and what it meant to be a godly person. And so this morning I want to take some of those characteristics that I saw and kind of list them out here before we hop into a text. The first thing I think is that a mother is someone who is there to shelter us, to guide us, to help us. They love us despite what we do. Right? There are many times in our upbringing and in our youth that we aren't making great choices. And no matter what happens, they were still there for us. They cared for us. They loved us. They seem to have an infinite amount of patience for us as we become children because we weren't always doing what was right. There's a gentleness to a godly woman. There's a spirit of compassion and kindness and love. These women, these mothers, they're always there to provide swift reassurance for us. When we were children, some of our fears were very small, right? Three childish fears. I was afraid of the man under the bed, like the boogeyman. But here was my grandmother. Here were these women there to comfort us in those times of need. And it's almost as if they treasured you for who you were. And they were excited to see you grow and excited to see who you would become. And that heart that they had, looking back on it, I see it was filled with nothing but forgiveness. They've forgiven me for things that I didn't know that I had done. They've forgiven us for things that we knew we did. How many times as a young person when I told them not to do X, and the first thing I did when they turned their head was to do that very thing? How many times was I disobedient, not listening? Yet there was always that forgiveness, no matter how small or large the mistakes I made were. They were always, these women, these mothers, these godly women, they're always putting the needs of their family ahead of their own. I don't know how many times I've watched my wife sacrifice the thing that she wanted to make sure that Nora or I had what we needed. I don't know how many times my grandmother put aside her own desires to make but mostly because they're counting on God. They fear the Lord, and they're there to make sure that we're filled with the desires to stand in awe of Him. But the thing that stands out most in all those things I listed is the thing of wisdom and insight. Right? They know. They just know. And that's why I picked Proverbs 1, 7 through 9 this morning, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck." This morning we read the entire section of chapter 1, 1 through 9, and it starts out and it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." I think it's important to understand who Solomon is. He's the son of David, the son of the great king, and he himself is a supreme and powerful king. People would bow in his presence, and they respected what he said and what he did, and he had all this authority and all of this honor. But he's saying, don't forsake what your mother's taught you. Listening to this instruction. Solomon treated his mother as a person of great authority in his life. Now, who knows what his mother's name was? Anybody? Just yell it out. Bathsheba. And she was a woman of interesting circumstances. We'll fill it out there. Right? His birth comes about by a very, very, very inappropriate manner, right? His father, David, had these very ugly circumstances. He takes Bathsheba as his wife. They have children. And so it'd be easy to look at her and say, well, look at this that she did. How can we respect and honor her? But he did honor her, did he not? In 1 Kings, it tells us that she came to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah, and he arose to meet her. And when he met her, he bowed before her. Now, this is a powerful king, the supreme man of all the land. And his mother walks into the room, he rises to meet her, and he bows to her. And then he had a throne seat set next to him so they could have a conversation. He honored his mother's position. He didn't expect her to be perfect. He knew that she wasn't perfect in her practice, but he respected her based on who she was. How many of us have been willing to honor our mothers or honor our fathers or honor those enduring over us than the circumstances of their life aren't the best? It's very easy for us to point to someone and say, you did X, I'm not going to provide you with the honor and that you're due based on your position. But Solomon honored his mother. He honored her position. He loved her. And he knew that she was due the respect. Now, none of the authors of none of the human authors of the Bible are perfect, are they? They're imperfect. But God would guide their hands and their thoughts, and then he preserved this for them in his very perfect word. And as we listen to God's word through Solomon today, I want us to understand that there are six insights from Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. The first thing I want us to gather is that the family unit is God's idea. Now, Solomon, when he's speaking here, he takes for granted that there are mothers and fathers and children in a relationship of accountability. Right? There's an order. He understands that. He expects us to understand that. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Families are God's idea, and they're God's plan. Now, the world would have you believe that families evolved over, is it billions now, millions? God's idea, and he ordained it in creation. Look at Genesis 1:27, if you will. It says, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. So God's creating man and woman, and he's bringing them together. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That sounds like a family unit, right? Husband, wife, children. So we understand that the family is God's plan, it's God's way, and they're told husbands and wives will be fruitful and multiply, and they're to be a school for children, right? Again, in verse 8, hear my son, their father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. What does that sound like? Instructing and teaching. Sounds like school. The father is the instructor, the mother is the teacher, therefore the family is a school. God ordained the family not to just fill the earth, but to fill the earth with a certain kind of people. What kind of people does he want the earth to be filled with? Instructive and taught people. The family is the place where the next generation is born and where the next generation learns to live. And we have to learn just about everything, yeah? I mean, we have to learn how to walk and how to talk and how to progress from eating with our fingers to using those fancy utensils, forks and spoons, and using a knife. And we learn how to ride a bike, and we learn all of these different things, and those are all important. But the most important thing families are teaching children is to fear the Lord before God. The family's goal, the father, the mother, is to instruct the next generation, right? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What does train up mean? Instruct. Instruct your children, specifically in the ways of the Lord. How many right ways are there to do things? One. Who played it with them? Wrong answer, Dan. It's not four ways. There's only one right way, that's God's way, and that way leads to the kingdom. We need to start training our children very early on. We don't want to wait until they're 16 or 17 to teach them how to walk. We don't want to teach them how to use a fork and a spoon at 17 to eat. We do that. We want to start training children early on. We want to enforce the fear of the Lord as soon as we can. And when we're enforcing God's way, we need to do it in a loving way, but also with discipline. They need those people to come alongside them, to forgive them, to love them, to guide them, to instruct them. Now, some of you are sitting here today and saying, glad my children are grown. I got through it. Others of you might be sitting here listening around teenagers, thinking, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it. Some of you are sitting here thinking back to when your children were growing up and thinking, I don't know how you do it. Some of you are wondering when you're going to get married and start down this path of having a family. As you look around this room, I want you to realize there's an entire village in the room. You all heard the saying, it's a village. It's true because it's hard to raise children. It's hard to instruct them. It's hard to help train them up in the way that they should go. There are moments in our lives when we don't know where to turn and what to do. But that's why this assembly is so important. It's a family. It's a family. We're here for each other. We need to make sure that the foundation of our family is to keep the family in the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, we ask, what basis is the Father's instruction and the Mother's teaching? What basis do we have in the church for saying, sure, it's the fear of the Lord? And so our daily lives, the way that we live, the model of behavior, needs to all revert back to the fact that God is supreme. He is above all. I don't want you to sit there and think, oh, I need to be scared of the big father and so on. That's not what fear in the Lord means, right? We have no reason to be scared. We know that never forsake us. We know that there's nothing that can separate us from the Father and what we do. And we know that we have the promise that He is there for us. He doesn't leave us. He is there too. So what does fear in God mean? Means having any reverence. It means that He is so supreme in your mind that everything you do, impacts the way that He was meant to do it. Right? Everything He thinks, says, and does, as God, impacts the way you live. You respect Him. You submit to Him. You understand Him after worship Him. You worship Him in your heart. Through prayer, through singing, but then worshiping God, or singing out and crying to Him, the thoughts of our heart, right? What does this mean? God, I need you. God, no matter how bad we are, your grace is in you. So, as a family of families, as a church unit, we need to make sure that this is a place where children learn to perform in that position. You see, the responsibility is not just of one parent. Under God, fathers and mothers share the responsibility of family instruction. Hear my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. It didn't say fathers instruct and mothers change diapers. No, it doesn't say fathers go to work and mom do everything else. It doesn't say mothers also go to work and then let's all turn our responsibility over to someone else. No, it says fathers instruct and mothers teach. We share this responsibility. So this Mother's Day, I want us to encourage each other, encourage the women here. So come alongside of some of you who have been down the road that Marcy and I are speaking walking with a 15-year-old child. You have knowledge, experience, and wisdom even through some of these situations. And if we struggle, the thing that we all need to do is make sure that we're reaching out to our family. This thing. We call that practicing we love each other so much that we're willing to sacrifice to help bring up this next generation. Teaching children is a great privilege. Teaching children is the greatest one to learn. And teaching and instructing children can be a very scary thing. How many times have you stepped back and said, what someone else can help you? Any of you have variety of teenage children? No one over here. I know. Somebody here must have children, right? Yeah, you have some challenging children. And you've thrown your hands up and said, what do I do? And hopefully someone is there to help you. If it doesn't do it in the right direction, it's not you who have to raise these children up. Now, not every parent is able to do that. I said, my parents, my mother was not a shining example. Actually seen a great deal of her. I think once when I was 16, she showed up at Fisher's. I think. I can't remember. It was a flash in the pan sort of thing, right? So this woman wasn't there for me, and she couldn't do the things or show me the things I needed, but as I said earlier, there were all these women in my life that helped. Now, Paul would write of the first responsibility to Timothy, and he would say, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which is first called in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well. Sincere faith is received and passed down by instructing and teaching. Now, it doesn't appear that Timothy had a father that was involved in instructing and teaching the scriptures. By all accounts, his father was probably a Greek, right? Because that's why Timothy needed to be circumcised in the territory where all these things went around. But what he did have was a mother and a grandmother who passed down the scriptures to him. And what did those scriptures do for him, Dan? What did those scriptures do? The holy scriptures that were taught to him by his mother through his grandmother were able to give him wisdom. And that wisdom led to salvation in Christ Jesus. It's a remarkable testimony, is it not? His mother instructed him in the scriptures. She instructed him in the scriptures, and it led to his salvation. I can't imagine where any of us would be today if someone hadn't taken the time to instruct us in the scriptures, to proclaim the gospel of Christ Jesus to us. Where would you be without the gospel? Lost. But by God's grace, there were people in your lives that gave you the gospel, that instructed you in the scriptures, that brought you the information you needed to understand who Christ is, and to see yourself for who you are. God calls sons and daughters to be submissive to their parents, does he not? It's one of my favorite things. I think it's the first verse I ever taught Nora, when children obey your parents. I like that one. I liked it a lot. Children, obey your parents. Anybody know what that sounds? Ephesians 6:1. I said, look, they all knew it. Every parent teaches them to obey their parents, right? Don't you go on from there. Children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment of the promise that ye may live long on the earth. Children obey. That's it, right? Children obey. That's our fifth point, right? Children are called to be submissive to the parent. And verse 8 it says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Those are two commandments, right? They're two commands that warn against temptation and rebellion. If the child is in the home, the temptation of rebellion is to not listen. Anybody got children that fail to listen at times? Yep. Wow. You didn't raise your hand. We'll need some wisdom from you later. Right, but the temptation is to rebel and not listen to your parents. So Solomon says, hear your father's instruction. And if your children are away from home, the temptation is to forsake your mother's teaching. What does it say? It says to put it aside and do whatever is going on. You know, our jobs as parents, and specifically as mothers, is to help insulate those children from all the things that are going on in the world, right? We want to protect them from them. But at some point in time, our children are going to leave the house. They're leaving the bubble, the cocoon that we've created. And when they go out, our biggest fear, or at least my biggest fear, is that she's going to forsake the teaching of her mother. She's going to do whatever is out there in the world. She's going to go down a path that isn't good. Did any of you share in that fear when your children were growing up, that when they left the house, they weren't going to do what you instructed? Did you fear that they'd go away to college and be changed completely? They forget the ways that they were brought up. And you know, when we look at the world around us, these children go to college and then they're being taught radical things, right? That are contrary to what God believes. And that's the real fear that we have, that they're going to forsake what their mothers taught them. Colossians 3:20. Children, guess what it says? Be obedient to your parents in all things. I like that. Be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And again, my favorite, five children, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This obedience is, children being obedient to their parents is learning to be submissive to authority figures. Right? It's important in our eyes that we made it a part of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother. Honor your mother by remembering what she has taught you. She's taught you all these things about what is right and wrong. She's taught you all of these things, how to fear God, how to live in awe of Him. Honor them based on their position, not based on their practice. If my own child can tell you my practice is not perfect, this is why. She shook her head, no, it's not perfect. But I hope that she knows that as parents, her goal is to point them in the direction of God. Mothers are working hard every day to make sure that their children know the love of Christ. Brings us to our sixth and final point. It says, God ordains a reward for sons and daughters. Teaching of their mother and father. Verse 9. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. It literally says, because you hear your father's instruction and you're not forsaking your mother's teaching, they are graceful ornaments to you. This verse makes it clear that the instruction of fathers and the teaching of mothers is rooted in the fear of the Lord, and that it's the first commandment with a promise, and that the commandments, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Did you see what I did there, Jared? I skipped an entire section. Because these are ornaments about your neck, it makes it clear that the instruction of fathers and mothers is rooted in the fear of the Lord. And that's good news for children, right? But you don't always feel that way. I didn't always feel that way as a child, right? When I was being instructed, I didn't view this with the roots that I was being instructed in the fear of the Lord. I kind of felt like it was the opposite. I felt like it was a function of the opposite. But because we're to honor the position, because the instruction is in the fear of the Lord, it means that this command of honoring the father and mother is a promise that helps to bring you to salvation. Timothy's own life. Grandmother, mother, faithful living of God, fear of the Lord. That heritage, that instruction, is what brought in the salvation of Christ. Now, for those of you who maybe didn't have the best homeworks growing up, maybe you had a mother like mine, look at the women who have been in your life who proclaim the gospel of Christ to you. Look at the women who have come alongside you and helped soothe your fears as a child. You know, I'm 42 years old. It's old, Jerry. But I still remember the women who helped me, who guided me, who sacrificed for me, who cared for me. I'm sure that many of the children that you've brought into your home, remember that you sacrificed for them, that you loved them, that you cared for them, even though they weren't quote unquote yours. I want to make sure that we leave here today embracing the fact that women hold a special place in our lives, that they're here to help us, that they love us, that no matter how old you are, whether your mom not, she's still instructing and teaching. I'm sure Dan hears the voice of his mother when he's making decisions. He remembers all the years of instructing and teaching. I'm sure my wife remembers the voice of her mother. She's still here. She still gets to hear her voice. But she remembers the things she was taught as a child. She remembers the things that her grandmother taught her as a child. She remembers the faith that her grandmother had and how simple it was. It was trust God and better days are coming. Believe God, better days are coming. Just a simple childlike faith that she passed on to the next generation. What a special gift. What a special gift. There's so much compassion. There's so much love that they have. And I'm grateful for it because we're not that way sometimes, are we? We're created differently. We're created differently. But God, in His infinite wisdom, gave us helpmates that are here to come alongside us and fill in the gaps. So remember, God's job is to help us and not to help us. God's job is to build up our branches. And when you guys come, it's just come alongside the church and raise them up. He raised his bread, sent the people away, and that was good. And that was positive. I strongly believe the only reason I was able to see how great that sacrifice was is because of the sacrifice he sent to him in the way. The sacrifice of Calvary was the most beautiful thing that occurred to him. Jesus. Perfect in every way, sinless, had a shame's heart, and he nailed to the cross, and his own father poured out his wrath on him, so that people just like us could be saved. I ask all of you to think about the many people that you see in the world of this. Father, this morning we are here celebrating Father, I know this good times that it can be challenging to them because of the way that this children can be. The disobedience that they have, the behaviors that they have, so grateful, Father, that you've given special kind of place to the forgiveness of the Lord. The different feelings that they want to deserve. Father, I know today is a new day. We can all celebrate in our lives, that we can be renewed in spirits,